And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of February 19th, 2018. So recently on the website Grist, there was a very interesting article entitled The Devil's Bargain. I wanted to talk about it a little bit, but in order to understand what the devil's proposition is in this case, it's useful to have a little background information. That background information goes sort of like this. As you probably know, there are computer-based mathematical models of the climate, and essentially those models attempt to compute an average temperature of the planet based on physics principles that can be expressed mathematically. So, in a sense, the climate models are this big math equation that the computer is trying to solve. And what's the nature of that math equation? Well, at another very fundamental and highly oversimplified level, what the climate models are trying to do is to figure out how much of the sun's energy, how much light, shines onto the Earth, and of the amount that gets shined onto the Earth, how much is trapped and held, and how much of that light is reflected. Because, of course, the light that's reflected back out, the light and energy basically being the same thing in this case, the light that's reflected back out doesn't warm the Earth. It's only the light energy that's trapped here on the planet is what keeps the globe warm, has for millions of years. It's that balance of incoming sunlight and outgoing reflected energy. And of course, you start thinking about it, even that picture of Mr. Elon Musk's Starman driving around in his Tesla, right? He is right next to this beautiful blue Earth. And what are the implications of that picture of the blue Earth? Well, the sunlight comes in and then bounces off the Earth and goes back out into space where Starman was looking at the beautiful blue dot, right? But that light that's leaving the Earth is lost energy, right? That doesn't warm the Earth up. And so you have this idea that there's incoming light that's trapped and some of that incoming light is reflected out and does not provide any warming effect. And then if you think about it a little bit more and you look at the image of the planet in the Starman picture, the planet is dark in some places, particularly in the oceans. It's darker blue, and we know that darker things absorb more energy. And then there are clouds draped around the planet, and those are white and tend to reflect more energy. So you can begin to see the complexity of the climate model wants to take into account how much sunlight is reflected by the clouds and how much is absorbed by the ocean, because all that goes into your mathematical calculation of how much energy is around and how warm does that make the planet. So this brings up, this is an explanation of the article, or to support the article, excuse the idea that there's some sort of competition between various means of absorbing and reflecting sunlight on average on the whole planet. And so, of course, one of the big things that helps the planet now or causes the planet to retain the sunlight energy is carbon dioxide, right? That's in the atmosphere. And because of the way the system works, that carbon dioxide is holding in a little bit more heat. Then there are fossil fuels being burned. And what do those burning fossil fuels make? Well, they actually make two kinds of things. One is something called carbon black, which you might think of as soot, right? Just black stuff. And so as all that black soot comes out of our diesel engines and ships and all and jet planes and everything, that tends to settle, that black soot will settle on ice, make the ice darker and make it melt faster, make it absorb more energy, right? Conversely, some of the finer particles that come from burning fossil fuels can remain airborne, floating around in the in the air for weeks and weeks and months, and they tend to reflect sunlight back out. So again, you have now, you're reflecting sunlight back out. That's a cooling thing, right? That's getting rid of some of this incoming solar energy. And so the little tiny particles, which are sometimes called aerosols, little tiny particles from burning gasoline, they, in a sense, tend to cool the planet. Whereas the carbon dioxide, the molecular carbon dioxide that comes from burning fossil fuel, tends to warm the planet. So it's, you know, this big complicated, the more you look at it, the more complicated it gets. Now, it turns out that we pretty much know that these fine dust particles, sometimes called aerosols, these fine dust particles do cool the planet, because back in 1995, you remember, that an enormous volcano in the Philippines erupted. It was Mount Pinatubo. And it, in that eruption, it injected a whole lot of very fine dust into the upper atmosphere. And for the next several years, the weather was demonstrably cooler, because that dust in the atmosphere, that those aerosols in the atmosphere, reflected sunlight back. It was clear as day. I remember living here in Massachusetts back in that mid-90s, and there were some more miserable winters. And everyone's heard the story of, here in New England, of the winter without, the summer without, the year without a summer, right? 1816, a volcano called Krakatoa, way in the South Pacific, erupted. And that put up enough ash in the air to cool the weather here in New England so that they almost couldn't grow any food. It was quite a deal. So these little aerosols are well known and pretty well understood as a cooling agent by reflecting sunlight back out in this mathematical model where we're trying to net out how much of the sun's energy gets retained. Right? So there's this idea that there's lots of ways to either reflect sunlight back out or trap it inside the planet. That's what the climate models are trying to do, to figure out what the temperature of the planet is or will be. And we know that at least one of the factors is carbon dioxide that warms us, and these little aerosols tend to reflect sunlight away and are a cooling effect, just like clouds, right? There's a big debate in the climate modeling world about how reflective clouds are and how they should be treated in these models. So there's that. There's all that stuff about the balance of sunlight coming onto the planet. The other concept that's floating around here is that of geoengineering. You may have heard of geoengineering. This is the idea of deliberately putting some of these aerosols, these fine particles, into the atmosphere to block sunlight. I mean, it's just some mad scientist somewhere says, boy, if I put a whole bunch of this stuff in a rocket and shoot it up, it will blanket the Earth and reflect sunlight back, and it'll all be just perfect, right? There are other crazy ideas for geoengineering, like putting a sunscreen halfway between the Earth and the sun, right, and basically blocking out sunlight or reducing the amount of sunlight that comes to the Earth. Seems far-fetched, but people have talked about it. People have talked about geoengineering by putting iron filings into the South Pacific so that, for some reason, the iron filings encourage the growth of algae, and that algae will consume carbon dioxide, suck it out of the atmosphere, and then it all sink down to the bottom of the ocean and be trapped forever. Interesting concept. But one of the main ideas of geoengineering is to inject into the atmosphere some of these very fine dust particles to reflect sunlight back away from the Earth so it never gets here to warm us up in the first place. Pretty cool, huh? Okay, well, so now you have most of the pieces in place to talk about the devil's bargain. So what Eric Holthaus has come up with, he's made the case of the following thing happening, that there is, because of the way we're burning fossil fuels, we are putting into the air at the same time a warming agent, that is to say carbon dioxide, and this cooling effect of the dust particles that reflect sunlight away. They're both there coming from fossil fuels, right? It turns out that right now the effect of warming that you get from the carbon dioxide is a little bit stronger because the planet's warming up and not cooling, right? But the dust particles from burning fossil fuels is mitigating that increase a little bit because that's it's reflecting some of the sunlight back into the air before into the sky before it can get trapped. So the argument that Holthaus makes is the following, is that the effort to reduce, to generate our energy with clean technologies like wind turbines and solar panels, they're great because they don't make carbon dioxide. If you go into a circumstance where all of our energy is generated without burning any fossil fuels, you're no longer putting up either the carbon dioxide or the dust particles. The problem is that the dust particles fall out of the air over the course of weeks to months to years. So if you could magically stop all fossil fuel burning today and generate all of our electricity with wind turbines and solar panels, we think that would be fantastic, right? But over the course of a month to a year, these tiny aerosols that we put in the air will all fall back to Earth. They will stop reflecting the sunlight out. And what would then happen is that the carbon dioxide could take its full effect. There would not be any more competition. So that perversely and disastrously, if we go 100% renewables, then in fact we're going to accelerate the warming because we will allow the carbon dioxide to have its full impact of warming the planet. I'm like, well, there you go. That's the devil's bargain. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't, right? If you keep burning fossil fuels, you're going to inexorably warm the planet because the CO2 warms more than the aerosols cool you. But if you stop burning fossil fuels, then because the lifetime of carbon dioxide is so much longer than in the atmosphere than the lifetime of the dust particles, that is to say the dust particles all drop out of the air after 2 or 3 years, but the carbon dioxide is there for 100 years. Now you've created this situation where you've got even worse warming than you would have before. So it's a bizarre insight. It's not clear to me how many other people will sign up to it, but in the sense that Eric Holthaus has made this argument, maybe other people will come back and point out why he's wrong, but it's a rather sobering thought and suggests that in order to manage, that we have to manage down the amount of dust particles that are in the air thoughtfully so that the carbon dioxide heating won't increase. But that, in its very nature, is doing geoengineering, which, because the unintended consequences are so large, is extremely dangerous. So there you go. I leave you with a conundrum wrapped up inside of mystery, inside of a puzzle, to try and figure out how we should proceed and what we ought to do. Tough question. I'm sure we'll figure out how to deal with it, because that's what humans do. But it's an interesting insight. So there you go. I'll put up a link to some of the articles I referred to so that you can read them yourself. They're interesting, and they're not that technically deep, but there is some background that's useful. You can get the links on the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find this podcast and the blog on Facebook at /massclimateaction, along with a lot of other interesting links. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, etc., Podbean, SoundCloud, almost all of the major podcast distribution channels. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts. We're everywhere. You can't get away from us. If you find us, please review us. It helps our rankings. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Really appreciate your hanging in there. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.